CMJ. I slept last night. Anybody get sleep last night?
No.
Not enough.
I was at Madison Square Garden watching 3.5 hours of K-pop. So
so it didn't end for you.
No sleep.
Oh, gosh. Well, this is our CMJ wrap-up. I'm Bob Boylan. You're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm here today with Maura Johnston, the music editor for The Village Voice, and Sydney Brownstone, a writer and a videographer, would you say?
Mm-hmm,
a videographer for the Elle magazine.
That's right.
Great to have you both.
Thanks.
I saw both of you. Well, I saw Maura just briefly. I saw Sydney a bunch of shows that I went to. And for those who don't know CMJ, Maura, I bet you've been going a lot longer than I have. So a quick, what is it?
CMJ started as a conference for college radio types to sort of get together from around the country. And it was sponsored by the trade journal of the same name, the College Music Journal. And a bunch of people from college radio stations would come to New York City and network and see bands that they might not get to see in their necks of the woods. And it's pretty much changed in the internet age in that it's become as much, if not more, about online media as it has about college radio, which, you know, is still around, but definitely blogs and other websites have taken a lot of the taste-making duties that college radio stations
once had. But all coming to see
live. But they're all coming to see live music.
Which are 1,300 something bands scattered
around
New York City.
So many bands, yes.
In Brooklyn and in Manhattan and even Jersey, I'm told, though I never made it there. And I hardly made it to Brooklyn either. We're going to each pick some highlights of what we saw. We see lots of stuff. I'd love to kick it off with a pick from Sydney.
Sure. I'd like to start with a track from Ava Luna. They're a Brooklyn band. They're coming out with a full LP this month called Services on Infinite Best.
And I saw this show, and I have to say, you'll say much about it, I'm sure, but I was sort of taking notes. Ava Luna, I'm at the so-and-so, mm-hmm. and I'm just looking at my iPhone, and I'm taking notes. And the guy starts to sing, and I thought, oh, soulful voice. And I looked up, and it was a sort of a very nerdy kind of
skinny white guy in glasses.
Skinny white guy in glasses with a voice that you wouldn't imagine. We'd probably best play a cut, yeah?
Yeah. He's actually the son of a soul producer, I think, and a DJ. But they've got this great three-part Harmonies Andrew Sisters thing going on.
That's right, too. We'll come back and talk more about it. Let's listen to a little bit of Ava Luna.
Shake, shake. A brand new set of moves that you don't make. Get down and get back up again. Ooh, and you get back up again. But I always knew you were a dangerous one.
I like this group a lot. Tell me, you've seen them before in Brooklyn. I like they have this real jagged edge and a very soulful thing that sort of glued it all together all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the thing that I like most about this band is their energy. And they've been around for a couple of years, actually. We had them as one of our 8 bands you need to hear in New York City in 2010 in our print issue. The first time I heard them online, too, I was also blown away. But seeing them live is a completely different experience. It's hard not to move with them.
This is a band with one EP, but recording a full length. Is that
right. So the song we just heard was off their EP, but it's also going to be on their full length, which is being released this month.
So it's Ava Luna, 2 words, A-V-A.
Space Luna.
Maura Johnston, what do you got?
Well, I saw another band from Brooklyn on Saturday night. I saw a band called Fort Lean, who are very raucous, and there were lots of broken strings, and there was lots of craziness. All the bands that I saw that I really liked this year, I noticed, had this sort of very sunny guitar tone to them.
Oh, you should have come with me. I had a lot of dark guitar
really?
Tone bands.
I don't know. Maybe it was just the way that, because, you know, everyone at CMJ shakes out differently with that many bands, obviously. That's, you're going to see patterns. But Fort Lean I really liked because they also had this very sort of replacements-y swagger to them. And their show was just really, really fun. The back room of pianos downstairs was really packed, and the energy was really
great. Could you
great.
Tell what the smell was in, at that place? That was,
I don't
never,
know.
But all my clothes completely have that piano's smell. Maybe it's part incense and
you don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, then let's just go ahead and play a little bit of Fort Lean. What song should we play?
This is a song called Perfect.
Very sunny.
Yeah, bopping my head.
Yeah. You know? I look for a couple of different things when I go see music. And sometimes I like the friendliness of something familiar with like that. Mm-hmm. But I also like sense of adventure, too. Mm-hmm. What do you guys look for when you go to see bands?
I look for, I mean, definitely a sense of adventure. I look for, you know, a band that can connect well with the audience, even if they are connecting through not connecting.
How do you mean?
You sort of, you're more like distant bands. Like, you can be a distant band and still engender a connection with an audience by creating an atmosphere where you're supposed to be standoffish as opposed to just sounding nervous, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that when a room can get lit up in a certain way, it's a really special thing. Whether it's an arena full of screaming teenagers or a back room of a somewhat aromatic bar full of people bopping their head and jumping along.
Yeah, I mean, this might sound stupid or idealistic, but I think I look for sincerity. You know, if someone has conviction in their lyrics, in their songwriting, then the audience, I think, can pick up on that. That's something that I think I can feel, you know, just at an intuitive gut level. And I can't really put it into words or rationalize it. It's just a feeling that I get.
I saw that in a group I saw called Cavemen. Have either of you seen Cavemen?
Mm-hmm. They played 10 times and I didn't get to see them, which is, well, I don't know what
they were happened. They were the first band I got turned away from. The line was so long.
Wow.
And then the second time there was a show. There are official shows for people who understand this and don't understand it. It's not too important. But there are official CMJ shows that's on every schedule. And then there's sometimes there are parties or whatever bands play on that aren't on the schedule. Mm-hmm. I went to one of those unofficial ones that I found out that Cavemen were playing. There were 20 people there because nobody knew about it. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy about that because I got to see this band up close. Another New York band. Great songs. That's the other thing when we talk about what we look for. I think it would be safe to say everyone wants a really good song.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Cavemen were probably maybe the best song band I saw the whole time I was here. Let's listen to a bit of them.
Down on the lawn.
Such Caveman. What I learned about this band later from a friend I was walking down the street with, he said, oh, I know that guy. In fact, I know the guitar player. He makes guitars, and he makes fabulous guitars in a shop, I think, in the East Village. I won't get technical about the guitars, but they're apparently very cool. So the bass guitar and the guitar in that band is made by the band.
Oh, that's cool.
Really pretty cool. Fabulous, fabulous group, Caveman. Their record came out, I think, in September. It's called Coco Beware. C-O-C-O, Coco Beware. Yeah.
So. Excellent.
Surprises. CMJ, you walk in. Sometimes we plan schedules, and sometimes we stumble upon things randomly. Sometimes you go to see a band thinking you'll get one thing, and you wind up with something else. Mark Johnson, did you have any surprises?
Well, so when I walked in the other night to the Cameo Gallery, and I was going to see Gauntlet Hair, I saw pretty standard setup on stage. You know, it seemed like a pretty standard setup, two guys and a drummer. And then as it turned out, the drumming had this sort of extra edge to it. And it's because instead of just a typical drum kit, Gauntlet Hair's music is augmented by electronic drum pads. So it had this kind of, and I'm going to say this because I saw this band twice in the past, like 2 weeks ago, and they're still in my mind. It has like a little bit of a Portishead edge to it, where it has that sort of like very militaristic rat-a-tat-tatting underpinning everything else. I was pretty entranced for the whole set. So that was, and it was a nice surprise because this was a band that I'd heard a lot about, and it was such a pleasant surprise to hear this twist on, again, the guitar tones were very similar to a lot of the other bands that I like, but this extra edge really added a nice twist.
And I don't think it's unusual. In fact, at All Tomorrow's Parties, which was just a few weeks ago and not far away from here in New York, I started counting the number of bands that had more than one percussionist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a good 50-60%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, something else augmenting the percussion is going on. I'm not sure why that is, but it happens a lot. It may be because a lot of bands might use drum machines in making their music and real drums, and that's one way to augment it. But
it's also visually appealing to see someone take apart a drum kit and have multiple people banging on, you know, toms on stage. That's a great thing, and I never get sick of it.
Lots of catharsis on stage happening. And just, you know, it's fun to have chimes sometimes. Just ding. I don't know.
Let's listen to Gauntlet Hair. How about if we play Keep Time?
Keep Time.
When I went to see him, I only caught, it's one of those things where you take a cab over the bridge, you get to Brooklyn, and by the nature of the beast here, it's over, or almost. And Gauntlet Hair, I saw a song and a half of, much more guitar-y than this. This sounds more Animal Collective-y.
Yeah.
And so forth. What, in the big overall picture of their sound, was that fairly representative?
It is a little more Animal Collective-y than
in this particular song.
Yeah, I thought that there was a lot more sort of tightness going on. And again, you know, it's the difference between the sort of recorded sound and what you're hearing live too. Whereas, you know, there's not as much effect happening in the studio as there is in the live setting. So you have, you know, basically the drum pads being the one big augmented aspect of the sound.
So my surprise was seeing Casio Kids. Did either of you see Casio Kids?
No.
Now, I like this album and this group a lot. They're a Norwegian band. Very happy Norwegian band. But This was a one place that I went. They had everyone full of joy, and they had everyone moving, and they had everyone shaking. And I think what may have set it off was just the fact that they had plastic duct-taped pineapple on their keyboards. It may not have been that, but it could have been that.
Snacks sometimes, and
peas. That's right, totally. It was really fairly hilarious. All their instruments, and they use Casio keyboards. Casio was a brand of the very first cheap synthesizer with plastic that you could actually own under $100.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
one
had
of the
one.
First ones that you did you?
Yeah.
Did you? And one of the first ones that actually you could sample with, and they were just little plastic things. So there were lots of keyboard based band, but a real drummer. And which always, for me, helps in the dance mode. So let's play some happy music by Casio Kids. I will play a song called, it's Norwegian, so pardon me. It's called Drisenen. Much of the music was even bouncier and livelier than this, but this gives you the happy flavor of Casio Kids. Casio Kids' record is called, I'm not even going to try, because even the first word has A-A-B-E-N-B-A-R-I-N-G-E-N, Ab-Ben, A-A-Ben-Bar-N-Gen, over Ask-A-Men-N. Anyway.
You tried.
Try looking up Casio Kids' new record and... That's going to be the easiest way. And Casio Kids is one word. I can tell you that. Sydney.
Hi. Yeah. Well, I just want to say that kind of reminds me of the happiest of architecture in Helsinki.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. Makes me feel really good and fuzzy inside.
And I don't know how, you know, for the bands that do this stuff, I mean, this could have been their third show that day for Casio Kids.
Yeah.
And you're loading in from one club to another through a crowd of people carrying your own gear. Getting up on stage, setting up, no sound check. You get maybe what's called a line check, and the line check is basically, does this mic work? Does that guitar play? Mm-hmm. And so it's the worst of all situations. So when people come to a setting like this, I think it's fair to say that you don't see the best things going in terms of performance, in terms of sound, in terms of... It's sort of like a smorgasbord. It's sort of like a tasting. For us as journalists, we get to come and taste. For the audience, they get to come and see something new, but... They can probably go see him in a club that on a better night, the engineer has him in engineering 12 shows.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's downsides to this, like there are downsides to South by Southwest. But that said, you can see 60 bands, it's possible to see 60 bands in 4 days. So.
And then sleep really well at the end of day five.
Yes, thank you.
One of the bands I was surprised by was I was stumbling out of Cake Shop on Wednesday night. I had just been moshed to death, and I walked into Pianos at 1 a.m.
And these are two of three clubs on the same street, on Ludlow Street.
Right.
Where you can just constantly, two of them have two spaces in them that you can hear things, and one of them has Cake Shop. Do they even sell cake?
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
I never had a piece of cake at Cake Shop. I've been in there 100 times.
Yeah.
So downstairs is really what looks like the cavern in Hamburg. If you ever saw the Beatles photographs there as a little hole in the wall.
Yeah, and being on Ludlow Street is kind of like being in a musical pinball machine. You just kind of bounce from one venue to the next.
Totally.
But so I just stumbled into Pianos on a whim, and the band was setting up, and the first thing I noticed was that the lead singer and the guitarist took off their shoes. And I was skeptical because it just seemed too self-conscious. I thought, dear God, please don't let this band suck. And I was so pleasantly surprised. They're an Australian band, definitely a more refined type of jangly hippie stuff. And I don't want to call them the Australian grizzly bear, but they've got that soft harmonies thing going and excellent song structure. And the guitarist uses a bow on his guitar as well. I was impressed by it. And then they worked up into this kind of psychedelic frenzy towards the end of their songs. And it was just an amazing live experience. Like, this is a band to see live.
And there were a few Australian acts who came.
Oh, yeah.
Gotye was one. I don't know if you saw him at all. He's somebody who I'd never heard of, who has like a million something, 10 million or whatever hits on his videos. He's just got signed to Universal Republic, who was very, very good.
Anyway,
And Boy and Bear. But we're going to play Whim. You said you went in on Whim. I don't know if we ever said the name of the band.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, is Whim, W-I-M.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's listen to Whim. So this is Whim, their album, their anything?
Yeah, I think it's a self-titled album, but I'm not sure about that. But it's online. You can stream their album from their website.
Oh, fantastic. W-I-M. Is it all caps, W-I-M?
Yes, all caps.
Is it an acronym?
I don't know.
I like that music a lot, and I listened to a couple of other cuts of theirs that I thought was fabulous.
Yeah.
I think it must be really hard for a band to come from Australia and make a mark.
Oh, yeah.
And so then to get back again, it's what a journey. And I think they're making a great sound. And then we had the Norwegian band. I think it's toughest for those folks to do it.
The ones who travel, because they have so little time to make so much of an impact. And, you know, if the scheduling, like, falls out the wrong way, they might not get the chances that other bands
and the biggest downside of this festival, and if anybody's out there listening from CMJ, if you could make the trains run on time.
Yes.
Please, MTA.
You just run from one thing to another, and it's spread so far and distant, and
so
you get
far.
There and it's either over or it's delayed 2 hours at one point.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a club till 4 a.m. because this thing was supposed to start at 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We actually had a showcase that was running 15 minutes early.
Wow.
That was pretty impressive.
It's a first.
Yeah.
It's a CMJ first right there.
Yes. Absolutely. Sometimes you get these conglomerations of bands. You were telling me about the group
Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Yeah, I was going to say this mortal coil. I don't know where I was going with that.
Bringing it back.
Yes. You got someone from New Zealand, someone from Portland. Why don't you tell me? I didn't see this group at all.
They're a trio. I've actually been hearing about them for a long time, and they're a really wonderful trio. I mean, their music, I was, because their name, you know, their name implies this sort of, I don't know, almost Trans-Siberian Orchestra thing, mm-hmm. was the sort of mental image that came up when I first heard
yes,
about them.
Me too.
But it's a three-piece. It's a guitar, bass, drums, really sort of sweet melodies with chiming guitar that recalls psychedelia and Kiwi pop, and it's just all of this really bright music with a kind of, I would say, a little bit of maybe, you know, like slightly informed by funk and soul, but it's not an overbearing presence, but it's definitely there. Mm-hmm. I just find their record incredibly catchy and live. I mean, I saw them at the Fader Fort, which is mm-hmm. this temporary space that this year was in Chelsea. And the conditions, again, like we were talking about earlier, were not optimal. The lead singer kept complaining that the microphone was shorting him out. But they still sounded great, even with the problems that they were having. And I just am so charmed by their music.
What do you want to hear?
How Can You Love Me?
It's one of my favorite tracks.
Okay. Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Yes.
And the orchestra really does imply something that isn't really quite, in, at least in this song, there. And so maybe that's why you expect the Siberian Trans World Airlines.
Christmas Transcendence.
And their orchestra.
And that's such an interesting thing, too, with, you know, CMJ in general, is you're presented with this gigantic list of bands that you can see that you have to kind of make a lot of snap judgments and, you know, sort of deal with whims. Because, I mean, even I know that you listen to, you know, you're an omnivore, but 1,300 bands is like cramming for 8 finals that are all happening on the same day at the same time.
Didn't
the same
you do room. That in school?
No.
Oh, maybe that's where I got
my practice. I was at the radio station.
Yeah. I worked 48 hours a week and went to college, and so Sunday would be the day I would like do all my schoolwork.
Yeah.
I have midterms this week.
See you later. That was Sydney Brownstone. She writes her film magazine going to do her midterms. Oh, yep. And I'm also here with Maura Johnston, editor of Village Voice. We're talking CMJ, the College Music Journal. It is a music festival /marathon/marathon/marathon
slash running.
Yes.
Sleep deprivation.
Yes.
And it is for the groups of play. It's we mentioned the last band getting shocked when they touch their lips to the microphone, basically.
Yeah.
I saw a group called Firehorse, mm-hmm. who I thought fabulous, fabulous songs. Great, great singer, Leah Siegel. And they had nothing but nightmare issues.
No.
They were talking about how parts of their songs were supposed to happen on computer or effects in pedals that weren't happening. And so whatever you plan and whatever you think about as what your song is doesn't come mm-hmm. off that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for Leah, you could just see the disappointment. Just you were with me, Sydney.
Yeah, I was. But you know what? The reason why I liked this band so much was how they overcame those issues. You know, I think Leah said into the mic at one point, you know what, we're having all these issues, but we are going to put on a show. And then they did, and everyone in that audience was blown away.
Absolutely. Let's play some of Firehorse. A song I'll play is called She's a River. There's a new EP that's out. It's called And So They Ran Faster. I think the best of Jeff Buckley, in a way, when you hear Leah's voice. That's how I felt when I heard it. So. Thank you.
you're made for. Wash themselves of all their secrets, leave their dreams among the river waves.
Fire Horse, one word. She's a River is the name of the song, and So They Ran Faster is the name of the EP, which is a fabulous EP. There's, if you're a St. Vincent fan, I think there's some of that in her. She's a great guitar player, and a band that is, I thought, had the sensitivity to play. One of the things doesn't happen at these kinds of things is you don't get much dynamics. Everybody comes full throttle. Part of that is lack of sound check. Part of that is nerves and adrenaline. Part of that is lousy source or learning players. Mm-hmm. All those things. And these were seasoned players with great songs.
Another thing to mention about Fire Horse is that guitarist also plays with My Brightest Diamond and Shire Warden. And watching the show, that was a comparison that came to mind. Oh. That really strong female vocalist.
Excellent. So, Sydney, what do you got?
This is a band called Clowder. They're a Brooklyn band. I think they're probably the most underrated and unknown band in the borough. They have two of these amazing guitarists, and I just trust them to write great songs, definitely influenced by psychedelia and late 60s pop and all sorts of obscurities. And this track is called Where the Asphalt Dies.
I like this group, but it struck me over and over and over and over again going to shows here at CMJ. It strikes me that way when I go to shows at some of these other festivals. A sound that I lived through and grew up in and like, call it garage, call it psychedelia, it's all of those things sort of mixed in one. Some lean more heavily to one side than another. And here we are. It is, that was 1966 that I can think of. And here we are, if I can almost do the math, it's 45 years later, and this music's still playing and still going strong, and it's being played by people who are barely of age to play at these bars, right? And if not, you know, it's 25. So what is the appeal?
I think part of it is, you know, the sort of musical diet that a lot of people are still brought up on is rooted in classic rock. If you grew up in a rock family, I say that with air quotes.
Air quotes.
But you know, you're still getting that sort of diet that informs this garage psychedelia, you know, whereas, you know, even if it's The Who or The Beatles or The Stones, you know, you go one layer deeper and you're getting to the Nuggets comps and you're getting to that sort of older stuff. Also, I just think, you know, there's something really not, I don't want to say basic about it, but there's, it is something that you can go in a lot of directions from the guitar, drums, bass setup that has that sort of swagger and that sort of yearning or searching that defines a lot of psychedelia.
I think the other thing with this band is surf rock and beach themes have been huge, but this is a more, I guess, intellectual and sophisticated take on it. It's not just apathetic strumming, fuzzed out guitars. You know, these are people who really study the era, and that's something that I can respect. It's not something that you can just replicate digitally, and I think it's important to pay attention to that and to listen for it.
I also think that that version of it reminded me a lot of actually like 90s indie rock,
mm-hmm.
wasn't necessarily informed by psychedelia, but just that had that sort of feel to it. The production on it was very, it reminded me of the Pennsylvania band Caterpillar and their early 70s. I really liked them a lot. They got heavy rotation on my college radio show. And, you know, just that sort of like very basic template where you can go in a lot of directions, but there is a sort of like, as opposed to the beach feel that you were talking about, there's more of like a rain cloud feel almost.
Mm-hmm. Or Guided by Voices.
Guided by Voices, yeah, yeah. One band that's doing the garage revival thing quite well, I think, is the band Pujol, which is sort of the rotating cast of characters that plays with the Nashville-based singer-songwriter Daniel Pujol. And just really fun, raucous. I got to see them twice, actually, on Saturday, which is always a CMJ treat, nice Easter egg. Just really fun garage rock that's very straightforward, but really, you know, effective at what it does, and I enjoyed their sets a lot.
Yeah, when I heard I was going to see this band from Nashville, I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, in terms of music, so let's listen to Pujol. Smelling that basement of the cake shop now. I saw Pujol. Gosh. I'm going to wash my clothes twice when I get home.
Yeah.
Extra detergent.
Cindy, what do you have?
I think I don't know whether to play Widow Speaker Hunters.
Well, I don't know Hunters, so I shouldn't say
okay.
That. But I really like
Widow's Peak.
Yeah.
So Widow's Peak is yet another Brooklyn band, and they get Mazzy Star comparisons up the wazoo. I think lead singer Molly Hamilton kind of
sounds... say up the wazoo on here?
Is that inappropriate?
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding.
Molly Hamilton, the lead singer, I think she sounds like Hope Sandoval on Painkillers. But the more interesting part of the band is the guitarist Rob Thomas. He just has these twangy and savory and kind of
so
unsettling
gorgeous
guitar lines, and seeing them live, you just kind of get sucked into this kind of, I don't know, kind of weird world, foggy, but just so smooth and so good, and also excellent songwriters, really
yeah,
solid.
Their record was probably my favorite debut album of 2011, and The Voice actually just named them Best Results of the 90s Revival in our Best of New York poll, which came out last week, because
mm-hmm.
I think that they're just fantastic, and their songs are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Gunshy Widows Speak. Let's just spell this thing, right?
Mm-hmm. WIDOWSPEAK.
Right, not what you think, and it's all one word.
One word.
Thank you.
So, Sydney, we've just sort of met, but I understand your musical taste leans a lot towards whammy bars, sunny, beachy.
Reverb.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I saw a number of great women singers. Grimes, anybody see Grimes?
I heard a lot about her, but I didn't get to see her.
Yeah, so Grimes is a one-woman band, as there were many one-man or one-women bands throughout this festival. She did, first of all, her voice was center to her music and a lot of electronics and a lot of processing. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. I saw EMA, who I liked.
Well, I wanted to see EMA, but I didn't get to see her. Her album, I thought, was incredible, though. But another female singer that I did see who was absolutely incredible and deserves a mention is Eleanor Friedberger.
So sorry I missed that show.
Yeah, she opened for Wild Flag, and wow. I mean, that EP last summer is great, but live she just has this kind of classic rock swagger and confidence and again, another amazing songwriter, and she plays this teal blue Stratocaster. It's just an incredible, incredible live experience.
Well, the one person I wanted to see and didn't actually, and this was an after the fact wanted to see, was this Australian rapper named Iggy Azalea, who came up on the YouTube circuit with sort of very profane raps and freestyles over already existing beats, and who also has, you know, this, she's very statuesque and beautiful, and I was a little suspicious because, you know, it's the YouTube circuit, and that can often engender people liking stuff because it's lousy. But a writer for us went to her showcase on Thursday and said she was actually really amazing, and that she had a great stage presence, and that she can really rap. She has a very nice sort of rapid fire cadence.
And I'll take us out on Zolo Jesus, who was the only thing we actually webcast from CMJ, and you can hear that concert, see that concert, in fact, from the Poisson Rouge online at NPR.org. So look for that, Zolo Jesus. I was completely taken by her. I didn't know what to expect. I heard the record, loved the record. We've put the record on the show before, but I was walking down the street and ran into her on the street before I saw her in the show, and was amazed that this powerful voice that I knew and had in my head was coming out of basically someone who was under 5 feet.
Yeah. 4'11".
4'11", probably weighed 100 pounds. And she's a dynamite, and she sort of conducted this whole band, powerful, powerful band. I was sure that the drummer in Zolo Jesus was going to pop through the skins. He was hitting the drums from way above his head down to the drum over and over and over again, but he didn't, and it was fabulous.
I loved that show. That was an experience that people will be talking about probably for the next month, I feel.
Did you have any parting thoughts, Maura?
I wish that I could have. I wish that I could clone myself during CMJ. Yeah. I wish that I could have one person of me who sleeps and edits and one person who just gets to go see bands. That's how I always feel. I actually wound up rebuying the Paradox of Choice just to deal with the whole idea of there being 1,300 bands and thinking about the psychology of how people go to different shows. So
it's absolutely an issue of opportunity cost. Yeah. I wish I had that thing that Hermione Granger has in Harry Potter where she's able to get to classes that happen at the same time. Come on, am I the only Harry Potter nerd here? Maybe.
It's wonderful. I loved all these choices, so thank you. Let's go out on Zolo Jesus. For those of you who want more live concerts, we have St. Vincent coming up, live webcast November the 1st. Come join us, npr.org/allsongs. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. Maura Johnston, Sydney Brownstone, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having us.
Cheers.